When all my dying dancing is through, I'll run
I had
to
no idea that Steely
you.
Dan was such Stojakovic fans.
They loved the Serbian national team.
This is a 2011-2012 shortened season, uninformed preview.
Should we explain ourselves?
Probably not.
Okay. We are, why don't we identify ourselves?
Oh, we should
like
do that.
Who we actually are.
I'm
since
Chris.
Since this is all in the present now.
Right, this is Chris.
This is December 19th, 2011.
Season starts
this
in 6 days.
This is so real. The season starts in 6 days. My name is Matt. We are applying our extreme wit and observational skills.
Don't talk us up too much.
To the NBA, upcoming NBA basketball season. And we're going to have this podcast available. You're listening to this podcast right now on SeanKempRedemption.com, probably. And you have stumbled upon an internet gem. And so we're going to do a team by team look today at the 2011-2012 upcoming NBA season. And we're going to end the show probably with some predictions as to
we're going to do predictions as we go along. We got the over-unders.
Right. We have some over-unders.
We're going to start with shitty and go to better.
If you're addicted to gambling, this is
a good
or not a good program for you, depending on where you are in that addiction. All right, so would you...
Let's start at the bottom of the East. Let's start with the East.
Okay, so we're starting at the bottom of the East.
Is that what we're doing, Matthew?
And because I'm going to repeat everything
oh, good.
Chris
All right.
says, and
who,
I'm going to stop now, sorry.
Who was at the end?
Okay, so...
The Cavs, right?
Yes, with a record last year of 19-63 in their first post-LeBron James season.
But let's look forward for the Cavs. Who is their coach?
Okay. That is the type of difficult question that you should ask me while we're actually recording.
All right. Well, they drafted the kid from Kentucky, right?
No.
Who's the point guard that they drafted?
Didn't they draft someone from Michigan State?
No, the kid
Duke?
From Kentucky. No. Oh, maybe it's a kid from Duke.
I think it's
Irving.
From Duke.
Kylie
Irving. They drafted Kylie Irving from Duke.
What do you think about him?
We actually know a lot more about basketball than it sounds like.
That's
Kylie Irving, was he the number one overall pick?
Yes, he was.
Okay, so they had the number one overall pick. We can't even name the number one overall pick from the last draft, but we
well,
know
we
a lot
also
about
have
basketball.
Never seen him play.
Trust
so
me. Right, because he was injured during March Madness, right? He was injured during the NCAA tournament.
I've seen him play college, but against, you know, tall people. Here's what I'm going to say. He's no John Wall.
Kylie Irving, it's always risky drafting a short point guard that high.
Maybe you were just thinking he was Mateen Cleaves. Is that who you got him confused with?
Did I say Michigan State?
Yeah, you did.
Oh my gosh.
It's certainly possible.
I think I thought it was Scott Skiles.
He doesn't do nearly as much coke as Scott Skiles.
So, we have a situation right now where Cleveland is... a team that has nowhere to go but up, presumably.
They cut Baron Davis. They amnestied him.
They amnestied Baron Davis.
So I can't
amnesty
name anyone
is such
else.
A strong word.
Oh yeah,
for, like, basketball.
We could maybe talk about how
the amnesty clause. It's like a refugee thing or something.
It's pretty... I mean, as a Bulls fan, it really pisses me off a lot that stupid teams get bailed out by this. It's another.
Do you want to try to explain the amnesty clause?
Okay. Well, the Allen Houston rule, which was not actually used to amnesty Allen Houston during the last bargaining agreement, in
the ironies.
The ironies. That was the first time that happened, right?
Right. It's called the Allen Houston rule. So basically, but it basically means that like a team. Okay. So this is my understanding of it, but I've never really looked into it.
You get to get rid of one player, you still pay him, but he doesn't count against the cap. And with the new CBA, cap is a little bit harder than it was before, and you can't be as stupid as the Knicks used to be, and you can't be over like the Lakers and Mavs have been. Like, you just kind of can't.
Okay, so I'm glad that you explained it that way, because I'm going to quickly, I think, make use that explanation to apply to real-world example. Knicks amnestied Chauncey Billups, the veteran point guard they acquired as part of the Carmelo Anthony trade.
Do you want to save this for the Knicks section?
I was just going to explain.
Okay, go ahead.
So they amnestied Chauncey Billups, who signed a huge contract a bunch of years ago and is making $14 million a year. And so Chauncey Billups did not clear waivers because the Los Angeles Clippers claimed him off waivers.
Well, let's clarify. When you amnesty a player, I mean, they still go through a waiver process, and whoever bids the highest amount gets them for that much.
Right.
And Chauncey's agent said, if you take Chauncey, he will make you sorry you ever did it. Because he wanted to get a new deal somewhere. And he was pissed because, I mean, he thought he'd be on this Knicks team, but the Knicks got Tyson Chandler instead.
Right. And so the Knicks signed Tyson Chandler. They're probably way over the luxury tax when they do that. Again, sort of revealing my ignorance. But anyway, the Clippers claimed Chauncey Billups off waivers. The Clippers signed Billups for $2 million. Billups is a $14 million deal. So that means the Knicks have to pay the difference of that $14 million deal, or $12 million.
But it doesn't account against their cap. They just have to write them a check to not play for them.
Right. So the Knicks have to pay Chauncey Billups $12 million, but it doesn't count against their salary cap. But the $12 million is still real money. Chauncey Billups can use it however he wants.
Yeah. The NBA, man, this is really exciting stuff. I love this league. It's really great. So, it's in a great place.
We may or may not be explaining further the ins and outs of the economics of the NBA.
You really need an economics degree to follow basketball intelligently, or any sport. So can you name anyone else on the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Okay, anyway, sorry. The Cleveland Cavaliers, 19-63 last year.
Ilgauskas is a free agent.
Sudrunas Ilgauskas. He was with the Heat last year.
Yeah, I know, but he's a free agent. Maybe they'll sign him. I can't name anyone on the team.
Anderson Varejao.
Varejao, yeah.
He's still on the team?
I have no idea. he could be.
So I assume they're going to throw
Boobie's still on there,
Kyrie Irving to the fire. They're going to have him as their starting point guard.
Well, right? Yeah. All right, so they're awful. Now, we have a 66-game season this year. The over-under
for
the Cavs is 16.5 wins.
That's good. That's good mental math. You know, given that I can't name very many players on the Cavs, if any players on the Cavs, I'm inclined to take the under. But maybe they.
No waffling. You got to pick one. 16.5.
I'm gonna take the under. Rookie point guards. There's a proud history of rookie point guards not doing very well.
I'm gonna take the over because I don't think anything will make sense in a shortened NBA season.
Okay,
all right. So who's next worst?
All right. So the next worst team is the other team that lost their star player, the Miami Heat, the Toronto Raptors, who lost Chris Bosh and plunged to utter irrelevancy last year and a 22-60 record. Can the Raptors, I don't know the right dinosaur metaphor, but
prevent their own extinction?
Can the Raptors prevent their own proverbial extinction, or will they become a fossil? Or will they regain their predatory instincts? Okay.
So who is on the Raptors and who is coaching the Raptors?
These are the kind of unfair questions you just cannot.
Colangelo is still running the team as well as
Brian. Don't call me Jerry. Colangelo is running the team.
Calderon is still on the team.
They have they have Andres Bagnani still,
I think. Right. And they have another point guard, and I have no idea who they drafted. I don't really know any of the draft. I don't remember.
I mean, at the risk of prolonging this podcast, I really forget the entire Toronto Raptors team, so I'm just going to briefly look at their statistics from last year.
Is Jarrett Jack on that team?
Okay. So these are the relevant Raptors.
Barbosa?
Andrea Bargnani.
Oh, and Peja. Do you think they'll have a special day for Peja? for his retirement?
Peja Stojakovic retired today.
I don't think there's anything to say about the Raptors.
Compose yourself.
This is... DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan is one of those people that knowledgeable sources... He's a shooting guard for the Raptors. He played in the dunk contest last year. Knowledgeable sources claim he might be on the rise. He's from USC. He scored 17 a game last year.
He's playing on a shitty team, and he gets
the ghost of Leonardo Barbosa. Ooh, haunting Ontario. Ooh, I used to back up Steve Nash. Ooh, Jose Calderon. You're right. Jose Calderon is on this team, and he averaged a whopping 9 assists a game last year. That's actually a lot of assists for.
Look,
a team
and
Jared
Jack is on this team. I know all their fucking point guards. Wow. I'm all over this shit.
This team has three legitimate NBA point guards.
All right, so this 16.5, you want the over or the under on the Raptors?
The Toronto Raptors, don't they get more than 16.5? They won 23 last year.
66 games.
66 is like what of 82?
I have no idea.
I feel like their over under should be higher than 16.
So you're taking the over on 16.5. They will be better than the Cavaliers this year.
If those are the odds I'm given, yes. I think that the Toronto Raptors will...
They're going to own this year?
So it's basically 80%. So if you have the exact winning percentage that you had the year before, you win 80% of the games. So 80% of 23 is like 19 or something?
Sure.
Okay. I think they go a robust 21-45, clearing the over-under.
I say they're the last team in the league to win 10 games, and they will be under 16.5. And it's also because they wear purple.
You know, you're probably right.
Who do we got next? Wizards?
Oh my gosh! Now we're in the preseason standings. Just 1 second. Okay, so the next team. Yes, you were right. The Wizards, exactly.
All
right,
so
Washington
the
Wizards, 23-59 last year.
And so we got John Wall. We got Blotch.
Right.
We have a ton of cap
Nick
space.
Young. Nick Young's still on this team.
They
right?
just re-signed Nick Young. No one wanted okay. Nick Young. They got Nick Young on a one-year deal.
Jeez.
Nobody, wow. 17 points a game last year? I mean, if the Bulls didn't end up with Rip, I mean, Nick Young was the guy that...
Sure.
And but they did not. They traded Gilbert Arenas, who we're not going to talk about,
well,
for...
I reserve the right to talk about Gilbert
Arenas.
All
right, Arenas,
well,
let's save that for the Magic.
During a future segment.
But they traded him for Rashard Lewis, who used a lot of steroids and is old and doesn't really do anything other than be tall and shoot three-pointers.
Yeah.
And he has a massive contract. He's one of the highest-paid players in the league, and he is awful. And they chose not to amnesty him. They can use this later in the season, but they decided to keep him on the roster. And I think they're going to do that eventually. But
Talent-wise,
I like
this. Is okay, so we've covered three teams. This is the first team I actually sort of have an opinion on. Talent-wise, they're better than 23-59 because, okay, their lineup of Nick Young, Andre Blatch, John Wall, Rashard Lewis, and JaVale McGee is not a great lineup.
Don't forget Jordan Crawford, who said
certainly
he's better than Michael Jordan.
Certainly, he's not even better than Jamal Crawford.
And no certainly Yee, no Yee this year.
Certainly, yeah, no Yee this year. He was holding them back. Certainly a flawed lineup.
They're going places. They have the most money underneath the cap. I mean, they're still developing. They got Wall going. I think they're moving
they're
in the right
be,
direction.
The league is going to force them to spend their money at some point.
Well, they're still right there.
That's
why
actually,
they didn't amnesty Rashard.
Right, that's actually the answer to your question,
right?
Is that they couldn't amnesty Rashard Lewis because then they'd be forced to spend money on actual players.
So we'll see. Their over-under is 20...
So
19.5. Woo! I'll take the over. I like them.
This team has really bad vibes, but they're too talented. John Wall makes the All-Star team, maybe. I take the over as well.
All right. Next, we have the Pistons, right?
Yeah. We have the Detroit Pistons next. The Detroit Pistons finished... No, we don't.
Oh.
Sorry. I'm slow reloading the standings here. So the fourth worst team last year. So last year there were four really, really bad teams, and this is the final of those really, really bad teams in the Eastern Conference. The New Jersey Nets. They finished the season 24-58. The Nets casual fans.
Well, they're in a holding pattern for a year. They're going to see. Darren Williams says he might come back. He might not. He's not going to make any decision on extension until the end of the year. But the biggest thing is they're the Dwight Howard's number one choice of team to be traded to is the New Jersey Nets.
Don't you think the biggest thing is that their owner is running for president of Russia?
Okay, that's important as well. But until, well, all right, go ahead, talk about it. I mean, he doesn't, like, kill bears with his bare hands like Putin. I mean, he's never personally gone into a lake and come out with religious artifacts as Putin has. I don't see how he can win.
Okay, so 24 wins last year. What's that? 24 times 0.8.
21.5 is 21. What we have as the over under, and this is with the full year of Darren Williams.
So wait, just to clarify, this is you know, for people out there that might not know, we of course know, but just sort of a dummy question. Darren Williams, he is back from Turkey. He's
they retired his number.
They retired his number in Turkey.
He played for like 3 weeks and they retired his number. It was actually very touching.
He was that good.
I don't think so, but hey, we're grading on the curve. He was that much better than Omar Rashid.
Did he ever face Allen Iverson in game play?
I don't think so, but if that happened, I would pay to watch it.
The Nets, one semi-serious basketball note on the Nets is that I don't understand how they could possibly get Dwight Howard with Brooke Lopez.
I agree. Brooke Lopez has fallen off since his rookie year. He doesn't rebound for a big man, but I mean, if you put him next to Dwight Howard, he would be useful probably. But that's not going to happen.
That's right, because he's such a bad rebounder, and that's what Howard does well.
Yeah. So I mean, they're going to Brooklyn next year. Howard apparently wants to be that marquee player, even though he says he hates the cold.
Sure.
And we'll get to Dwight a little bit more later. But what did I say the number was?
Okay, so the number was 21.5. I mean, I guess I take the over, but, you know, full season of Darren Williams, one of the 20 best players in the league, but, like, if not higher. But, I mean, like, I don't think this team makes the playoffs.
I agree, and I'll take the over on the 21.5, because there's a good chance they will make a move during the season.
Right.
And it will probably be adding talent and not subtracting it.
Right. Their owner wants to spend, unless he becomes president of Russia. We don't know how that'll affect things. Detroit, 30-52 last year.
Man, this is the most fucked up team ever. They just gave Stucky a lot of money.
They gave
25
Ronnie,
million.
Ronnie Stucky.
The cornerstone to the franchise.
A few years ago, they traded away Chauncey Billups because they all knew that Ronnie Stuckey was the next Dwayne Wade. Joe Dumars
has
quietly become a horrendous, horrendous GM year in, year out. Much like his quiet, unassuming ways as a Hall of Fame basketball player, he has very unassumingly become one of the worst general managers there is.
Yeah, this
How many shooting guards are on this team?
Well, I mean, also, how many threes do they have on this team?
This team...
The Ben Gordon contract is so bad, people can't even just get him for free from him.
I mean, they unloaded Richard Hamilton, who we'll talk about more later.
And they re-signed Prince, which is, man...
They re-signed Tayshaun Prince. Here is someone, one of my favorite players, you know, as a Pistons fan, you know, Tayshaun Prince... Tayshaun Prince deserves a better fare than this team.
Well, he's the one that chose to re-sign with them. Other people would have paid Tayshaun Prince money. Charlie Villanueva, no one else was lining up to give them money when they gave him $30 million.
This team is going nowhere fast. So they won 30 games last year. That means if they had the exact same season this year, they would go like 26-40 or something.
Yeah, but that doesn't normally happen, so... The over-under is 20.5.
Okay, I say Washington and New Jersey leapfrogs them in the standings, and they finish even worse than last year.
Yes. I think them and the Raptors are battling for the bottom. I'll take the under at 20.5 as well.
All right, next is Charlotte.
Charlotte Bobcats.
Charlotte Bobcats running neck and neck with the Toronto Raptors for the most anonymous team in the league. They are not as shitty as they are anonymous. They actually made the playoffs a year ago and last year finished 34 and 48. Nothing to write home about, but considering their payroll, probably better than you might think.
Do you think that Michael Jordan's stance during the strike lockout will affect them being able to attract free agents?
Yes.
I agree.
Michael Jordan, wildly competitive as a player, wildly competitive as an owner during the lockout, and his, you know, sort of...
harsh anti-player stance?
Harsh anti-player, harsh anti-union stance will not endear him to potential free agents. This team's two quote-unquote marquee players, Gerald Wallace and Steven Jackson, have been traded in the last year.
Who's Steven Jackson?
He's on the Milwaukee Bucks little notice draft day trade. Steven Jackson, who'll have to deal with Wisconsin's fairly strict gun laws. meanwhile, the Charlotte Bobcats will be...
Is Larry Brown still the coach of this team?
there are a lot of basic questions.
All right, well, the Bobcats are terrible with some older players that aren't as terrible.
Here's the thing about the Bobcats is that they're so anonymous that you just want to bury them, but they don't do as bad as you would think. Let's see.
Well, the most important thing about the Bobcats is that the Bulls hold the rights to their draft pick. Their first round pick, and
in the Tyrus Thomas trade, is it in the
Tyrus Thomas, okay. And they've had it for I think 3 years, and every year it goes down from being protected to top 16, top 14, top 12. So by 2016, that pick is unprotected. So if they end up, if their pick is in the top 10, and then in the top 8 for the next, top 12, top 10, and top 8 for the next 3 years. In 2016, that is an unprotected pick.
Some of you might be listening to this at home and saying, wow, why should I care about that?
But why would you say that?
But you should care about what Chris just said, because this same scenario happened in the late 90s and early aughts with Otis Thorpe. The Detroit Pistons traded the disgruntled veteran power forward to the Vancouver Grizzlies in 1997 for a first-round pick that was structured in much the same way that the first-round pick Chris just described was. And the Pistons kept procrastinating, you know, accepting the pick to the point where suddenly the pick was totally, absolutely naked, unprotected in the 2003 draft. And the pick was almost this close to being the number one overall pick in the 2003 draft.
What winner did they take? Did Joe Dumars select with that pick?
So, well, the number one pick, if Joe Dumars had gotten the number one pick, he would have taken LeBron James. But with the number two pick, Joe Dumars, in the first of what would be 8 years of catastrophically awful, horrible moves, selected Darko Milicic. In hindsight, and at the time, a highly questionable move, considering that the third, fourth, and fifth overall picks in that draft were Carmelo Anthony, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade. But the whole point of this is that we need to pay attention to the sliding scale first-round
draft
picks.
Right, so the Bobcats you want to suck if you're a Bulls fan, and watch that lottery. And as long as they're in that top eight picks, it's also a huge... If the Bulls, you know, are going to make a trade, that's the only really pick they have of value.
Boris Diaw fans will be monitoring the Bobcats closely this year.
Boris Diaw, fantasy monster.
All right, this is the last non-playoff Eastern Conference team from last
year.
Do
the over-under on the Bobcats.
Okay.
It's 28 and a half.
I'm gonna have to take the under.
I'm gonna take the under on that because they suck. Next team.
The team that finished two games out of the playoff race, as it were, last year, is my home state team, the Milwaukee Bucks.
Still led by the wonderful Scott Skiles, who overcame a serious debilitating cocaine habit that got him kicked out of schools and cut from teams to become a real dick of a head coach.
Scott Skiles is a Midwestern legend. All-American at Michigan State. single game NBA assist record, run out of Orlando before they became really good.
Balled by former the age coach of the Bulls. 28?
Balled by the age of 26.
Okay, I'll take your word on it. And he's known for, you bring him into a team and they outplay their talent, but he's also known for playing players who aren't very talented. And having them compete hard and generally be in the bottom of, he's an excellent transitional coach that you would definitely want to turn a team around. And this is generally the year when teams start to sour on Skiles, as they did in Phoenix and what eventually happened in Chicago. So can he hold them together this year and have them sniffing the playoffs, Matthew?
Well,
Steven Jackson.
So much of it depends on the health of Andrew Bogut, the Australian center who returned gingerly from a terrifying fall last year.
Who also buys out a few hundred seats a game and has them sit behind the thing where they shoot the baskets at, the hoop.
That's the hoop.
and they cheer a lot for him and the other Bucks, and they say fear the deer and things like that. And he puts up those tickets. I think that's good.
Andrew Bogut.
The best Australian player taking number one overall.
Yes.
And a fringy all-star center. So, yeah, it depends on him.
Andrew Bogut, much better than Luke Longley ever was. So much of the Bucks depends on the development of, aesthetically, one of my favorite players, Brandon Jennings, who, in his frailty and on-court demeanor, reminds me of a young Kenny Anderson. Fortunately, like a young Kenny Anderson, Brandon Jennings can't play defense and can't shoot.
He can kind of shoot.
He's a very streaky shooter.
He likes to shoot.
He likes to shoot. Guess what Brandon Jennings' field goal percentage was last year?
38.7.
That's an alarmingly good guess. His actual field goal percentage was 39%.
Okay, well, maybe they rounded up. But Brandon Jennings over the lockout spent a lot of time playing pickup ball in where he's from. He's from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And so he played a lot of pickup games there in a pickup league. And there are some excellent, excellent YouTube videos he posted. One game, he had 70 points. Unfortunately, they lost.
I mean, I feel like Jennings, in a way, like the Skiles-Jennings marriage is a perfect marriage. Because here's like this LA, like, AAU, you know, legend who, like, you know, I mean, it seems like what he needed was some disciplined coaching, and maybe he gets it from Skiles, but
he's also the kind of player that Scott Skiles would bury on the bench, but he hasn't thus far. So I think Skiles might have changed as a coach, and I think Brandon Jennings is fucking awesome, and
I don't know what to make of this team. I mean, I think they won 35 last year.
They got rid of John Salmons, right, for somebody?
John Salmons, I'm pretty sure, was part of the aforementioned Steven Jackson
okay.
trade.
That's good they don't have him. He's not good at basketball.
So what's the over-under here?
It is...
they were 35-47 last year.
A robust 26.5. I'll take the over. Go Bucks.
I'm gonna take the under because I think that the next eight teams that we preview are all gonna, you know, be as good or better as they were last year.
Healthy Bucks team, I think, is gonna make the playoffs. All right, who we got next?
All right, the Indiana Pacers are next. They finished a thoroughly mediocre 37-45
by playing the Bulls extremely hard in the playoff series.
So they sneak into the playoffs
with an interim
easily,
coach who they locked up after that.
Yes, exactly. Even though they were crappy in the regular season, they actually played the Bulls pretty well in the playoffs.
I mean, they have arguably had the best offseason. I mean, in the non-Chris Paul division.
Right, so they signed David West.
They got David West. They lost Josh McRoberts.
Who's made a couple of All-Star teams, right?
Yeah. David West, formerly with Chris Paul. They signed him for a pretty friendly deal.
Yeah.
And he is the kind of guy that, I don't know, they're probably a good team. Losing antagonist McRoberts to the Lakers could be funny, at least.
So, yeah, I'm gonna give them a quick look at their stats last year, because they lost in five to the Bulls. Most of those games were close.
I mean, I think Danny Granger isn't going to get any better as a player. I think Danny Granger is who he is at this point.
Danny Granger, but Danny, so Danny Granger in the five-game series against the Bulls, who are known for having the best team defense in the league last year, scored 22 points on 48% shooting. So they have Tyler Hansbrough. He now moves to the bench with David West.
But he's the perfect bench player. It's where he should be.
Yeah. Roy Hibbert, Darren Collison.
I like Hibbert. Yeah, I mean, they're a good team. They're deep.
They're, you know, this is maybe the first decent Pacer team since the fallout from the Artest melee. So, I don't know. I would, so, like, 37 times 0.8 is, like,
Everybody loves hearing you do math.
Is, 33? Is it 33?
Well, these are different. It's 31.5. I mean, the over-unders don't necessarily directly reflect what happened last year.
So, well, I definitely
it's projection.
I take the over. I think they're going to finish over 500.
I think, yeah. With a short season, with a bazillion back-to-back games this year, they will be able to hold on. As long as David West stays healthy. Which I think could be questionable at this point.
They have a very strong front court with Hibbert, West, and Granger.
And they have a coach that seems Skiles-esque that's going to get the team to play hard every single night, and they're going to be a kind of team that, when the Heat are coming off of a back-to-back-to-back and playing the Pacers, they're just going to say, fuck. And the Pacers are going to steal a few games, but they're also probably going to lose some games to the Wizards. So, up and down, right around that A seed. I'll take the over on the 31.5, but not by much.
All right, the next team is Philadelphia 76ers. They finished 500 last year.
Still sporting Elton Brand.
Elton Brand is still in the league.
Doug Collins.
Doug Collins is the coach.
Great at turning teams around and then having them be bad.
You might remember Doug Collins
from the Olympics?
From the 1972 Olympics, when he almost led the U.S. to victory. So this is, like, this team, like the Pacers, this team has some nice parts, no superstar. They do have,
the number two overall pick from last year, who some people thought should go ahead of John Wall.
Right, they do have Evan Turner.
And that's the thing. If Evan Turner started out last year not looking like he was good at basketball at all. In Ohio State, he could create his own shots. He would... no longer could do that. His shooting was terrible. He seemed undersized. And if they can't figure out... if he can't figure it out, this team is completely lost. They need him to be... essentially, Eric Gordon is what they need him to be. And
they have a really... they go four deep with guards. They have Drew Holiday, Lou Williams, Evan Turner, and... well, this website lists Andre Iguodala as a shooting guard. Maybe he's a small forward.
Yes, I believe he is. And they still have Iguodala, who will most likely be moved if they disappoint the season.
He's still a really good defensive player.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of does glue that team together. I mean, he's important to him, but I don't know. I don't think they turn shit around this year. I think Elton Brand is decrepit, and I don't think Evan Turner figures it out. So I'm going to take the under on whatever this win total is, pretty much. Let's see.
Well, it's 500, so it's
31.5.
No, that...
30.5, sorry.
No, they were 41 and 41 last year. Their over-under has to be 33.
No, it doesn't. It can be any number in the world. I mean, for instance, the Clippers are better than...
oh, you're actually
were...
looking at the Vegas over-unders.
Yeah, these are the actual over-unders.
Oh, excuse
for
me.
For 66 games. That's what we're wagering on. Oh. We're projecting... as if we had money to gamble on this, whether they will win more or less. Wasn't a math quiz.
So we really are doing a service to gamblers.
Yeah, of course.
Wait, Philly's over-under is only 31.5?
Yeah, 30.5.
You're taking the under?
Hell yeah, I don't like this team at all.
I definitely... Addicts out there, listen to me. Stop.
Matthew Blake's lock of the
century. But if you're not going to stop gambling, if you need to keep gambling, I don't condone it. I don't think it's cool. I don't gamble. But, look, take the over. This backcourt of Drew Holiday and Evan Turner is either going to get better or much, much better this year.
Or the same.
I
don't know what you saw that would make Doug you think Collins, Evan Turner's going to figure this out.
Doug Collins is notorious for burning out teams, but that's in the third year. We're in the second year.
He also didn't give Evan Turner a lot of minutes last year. He has a lot of growing up to do, and with a short season, I think he's going to have real problems.
Look, I mean...
Elton Brand!
I don't know exactly what I'm talking about, as has been made clear so far, but I would take the over.
All right, I'll take the under. Who's next?
New York, number 6 seed last year, 42-40. You may have heard of this team.
All right, so we got Tyson Chandler. We got No Chauncey.
Tyson Chandler.
Oh, you know who they just picked up today? Baron Davis.
Baron Davis.
He's really good at eating.
Executive producer of Blood and Crips Made in America and a star at UCLA. Baron Davis is probably the fattest guard of our generation.
I think so.
He'll be joining a team which has Carmelo Anthony, Amari Stoudemire, and Tyson Chandler in the front court. In other words, big names. The Knicks always get big names.
People that
the casual fans have heard of. Even the Isaiah Thomas era, they were picking up Stephon Marbury and Steve Francis. Always getting the big names.
And always getting players who they can't insure. Because they are so injured, they like to give out massive contracts to players that, you know, are going to almost certainly get hurt. Amari's knees are uninsurable.
Amari Stoudemire, his knees are uninsurable. Though, to his credit, he played... I'm going to see how many games he played last year.
They were discussing with Chris Paul. I mean, Amari would have been who they would have flipped, and the Hornets essentially said, nope, we're not interested in that. And this Tyson Chandler signing puts them really, really close to the luxury tax, even after the amnesty of Billups. So they can't add a Chris Paul-type player. They can't add Dwight Howard. They're pretty much the team that they are right now. And this is a good old, what's his name? Phoenix coach. Mustache.
Mike D'Antoni.
Oh, Mike D'Antoni. This is a roster that is constructed.
He played 78 games last year.
Yeah, I mean, remember how strong he was at the beginning? He was the MVP for, like, the first 2 months of the season. He faded down the stretch. Mike D'Antoni plays a very specific...
He plays in too many minutes. Anyone would break down.
Yeah, I know. They played him too much because Mike D'Antoni plays crazy ball where you don't play defense and you run as much as you can. It's a very Euro-Canadian-style basketball that requires a point guard who really moves the ball extremely well. Who's the point guard for... the Knicks this year, besides
Baron Davis,
the fattest point guard, who was great on those Warriors teams, but that was a long time ago.
Tony Douglas?
Yeah, they're a roster that is constructed backwards. D'Antoni will get fired during this year.
Carmelo Anthony, he's good.
Yeah, Melo's great. But,
how come Baron Davis only get eight?
Over under 39.5.
39.5. So that means Vegas has them going 40-26.
They have them like a five seed or something like that.
Well, I'll take the under.
Yeah, I think D'Antoni gets fired. That's my prediction. All right, who's next?
The five seed is the Atlanta Hawks, who finished a pedestrian 44-38 last year. But then, just what everyone was thinking, we don't need to worry about the Atlanta Hawks.
After getting swept in the playoffs the year before.
The Atlanta
Hawks.
And
looking
Hawks
like they completely quit.
Ambushed the Dwight Howard-led Orlando Magic in the first round with a 4-2 upset victory.
Against another team that had apparently quit. And then scared the shit out of the Bulls.
And then gave the top-seeded Chicago Bulls a run for their money in the second round. The Atlanta Hawks...
are uniquely dysfunctional.
Previously, the Hawks have been best known for such things as...
having their coach shave off his eyebrows to inspire the team.
Or having the worst fans in the NBA.
Having an Asian conglomerate as an ownership that makes no sense, cuts money all over the place, and then made Josh Johnson the most...
Joe Johnson.
The highest paid player in all of basketball. Joe Johnson.
The Hawks, you think Atlanta...
And lost Jordan Crawford, or Jamal Crawford.
Booming city, urban population soaring. you know, the Hawks should be soaring too, but these Hawks are not the smartest birds.
No, but they have Horford and they have Josh Smith, who are two really, really good basketball players, if not inconsistent. And Horford proved that he can be really good. As a center, he's one of the best true centers, even though he's extremely undersized.
I mean, the Hawks were in a weird position after the playoffs because it was suddenly like, oh my god, like, we have a pulse as a basketball team. Maybe we should go do something. But then it was like, oh, we signed Joe Johnson for the biggest contract in the league. Well, I don't know what we can do.
Well, yeah, Jamal Crawford left for 2 years, $10 million. They didn't have $5 million for Crawford.
Who did Crawford sign with?
I don't remember. Well, the Bulls were courting him, and he ended up in Portland.
Yeah, I think he did sign with Portland.
He did. He signed with the Blazers.
We should probably fact check that one, but
he did. He signed with the Blazers, which was a really good signing for them. So yeah, I think this Atlanta
team. What's the Hawks over under?
Let's see. The Hawks are 35.5, and I will take the under.
I don't know. I mean, they must have some confidence from last year's playoff run. I'm taking the under in so many of these teams. I'll take the over with the Hawks, reluctantly.
All right, they're gross. They make me feel gross. Next.
Next, Orlando, 52-30 last year. Actively, or are they actively, shopping franchise center Dwight Howard?
Well, they are. There's no question about it. I mean, they were, and then they said they weren't, which means they are. They just didn't get the offer that they wanted because the NBA is totally fucked up and rigged. So that hurts them somewhat. But, I mean, this is it. This is Dwight Howard's last year. Their team president recently, vice president, stepped down because he made a drunken phone call at 2 in the morning, woke up Howard.
Wait, really?
Yeah. He was the son-in-law of the owner of the team, and he had a VP position. Okay. And he drunkenly called Dwight Howard up. And was like, we need you. We need you to stay here, man. You're everything to us. And then they essentially fired him the next day. So that shows a commitment to not annoying Dwight Howard, which is a plus. And other than that, they traded away Brandon Bass,
right.
to the Celtics and got back nothing.
Glenn Big Baby Davis.
All right, Glenn Davis, who really only fit with the Celtics. And if Kevin Garnett isn't around to make him cry, is just going to get fatter.
Glenn Davis looks like Trugoy from De La Soul for you Native Tongues fans in the audience. Okay, so.
So this team's fucked. They're going to get worse. The only question is, will Howard be around at the end of the season? That's the question.
Okay, so we're 45 minutes into this podcast, and I have my first strong opinion. Here it goes. Dwight Howard is way overrated. Dwight Howard, I think it's really unfair when people equate Dwight Howard with David Robinson as, like, a really great center that can't quite get it on the playoffs. I think that's insulting.
I mean, Dwight Howard made the finals by himself.
No, I think it's insulting the Admiral. Okay, David Robinson carried really, really shitty teams when he was with the Spurs.
Sean Elliott.
Sean Elliott was their second best player on many of these teams. Okay. Dwight Howard, first of all, has never become a dominant offensive player. He averages, like, last year was his best statistical year ever, and he averaged 23 points, which is good.
How many defensive player year has he won in a row?
So many.
Yeah.
I just don't think that, like...
What center currently in the league would you rather have?
Well, that's the thing. That's my point, is that there... He's the only good center in the league. I mean, like, he's not the only good center in the league, but, like, there are no other dominant centers. And
if you put him on the Cleveland Cavaliers, do they make the playoffs this year?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably.
But I think that, like, I think he's...
Who's the second best player on the Magic?
Okay, that's what I'm getting to, is that my point here is I think he's overrated, and I think that, like, the Orlando Magic supporting cast and the Dwight Howard era has not been as bad as people have recently made it out to be. They have, like, a talented team around him. Granted, it's been, like, really discombobulated because they keep trading players, but they have, like...
And when they were in the finals, they had Hedo Turkoglu playing point forward, carrying the ball.
Was good. When they were in the finals... Okay, that's a good point. When they were in the finals, they had three other all-stars or borderline all-stars in Jameer Nelson, Hedo Turkoglu, and Rashard Lewis. Currently, they have Jameer Nelson,
who I think is extremely overrated.
A borderline all-star point guard.
I think he's made an all-star team.
Jason Richardson, a borderline all-star shooting guard.
Who they just re-signed for a pretty good chunk. I think it was like 3-15, maybe?
Yeah, who's a good... I mean, Jason Richardson is a good player.
Old is he? He's in his mid-30s at this
Jason
point.
Jason Richardson is not that... He's like our age. Jason Richardson was drafted...
I'm too old to play basketball.
Jason Richardson is your age, Chris. He was drafted in 2001 after 2 years at Michigan State.
Okay.
What else? They have J.J. Redick, who, a lot of my frat boy friends in the audience, like, they have Ryan Anderson. This is, like, not that untalented of a team. I don't know. I just feel like, okay, here's my prediction. Remember last year when the Nuggets traded Carmelo Anthony and they did really, really well for a while?
Because they got a lot of players in return.
I think the same thing's going to happen. I think the same thing could happen.
All right, well, where does
Howard
end up? He listed four teams I believe he'd be willing to go to.
The Nets, the Lakers, he listed another team. We forget the other team.
The Knicks? No, it was another. Dwight Howard.
I think it was another like fun in the sun team.
It was, because Dwight Howard says he will not play in the winter. Now, here's the thing that I think is interesting. He didn't put Chicago on that list. And Chicago could probably make the best offer of all of these teams. And Derrick Rose...
Chicago could give Noah for Howard, and that would...
Well, it wouldn't be straight up.
Brooke
it would
Lopez.
Be... Well, yeah, it'd be Noah...
They give Noah and Dang.
Asik, and that Bobcats pick.
Yeah.
That's the best offer that they're going to get for him.
Noah Dang, I mean, that's like a decent offer. Like, I mean, I watched a lot of Bulls games last year. Dang was really good having to play, like, a gazillion minutes a night. Asik got much better as the season went on.
But Dwight Howard did not list that, even though he would play in cold Brooklyn. Why do you think that? Do you think it has anything to do that the two top Adidas players who are featured in commercials together are him and Derrick Rose? Does Dwight Howard hate Derrick Rose?
Wouldn't Dwight Howard want them to be with Derrick Rose because they're, like, sneaker allies?
I mean, that makes sense, but he apparently is not interested in that.
I don't really get Dwight Howard.
I don't either, and I don't like him. And I think his Superman shtick is stupid. And I agree he's overrated, but I think he's the best center in the game.
He's obviously the best center in the game because there's no other great center in the game. It would be like calling Patrick Ewing the best center in the game in like 1991 if like David Robinson and Hakeem Olajuwon had never been born. I mean, it's like, okay,
I think the Magic end up riding out the season with Howard, end up doing a sign and trade, getting next to nothing from him from the Lakers after the Lakers fall apart this year. That's my prediction. What is yours?
My prediction is that he goes to the Nets for this bizarre convoluted trade with a bunch of net draft picks.
All right, certainly possible. And the over-under on the Magic is 41.5. I will take the...
That's really hard.
I'll take the over on it. I mean, I think they're going to be forced to play out this year, and they're going to... Yeah, that's part of my prediction. Is that he's...
Richardson, Jameer Nelson, Dwight Howard, Ryan Anderson. Clearly a talented team. I take the under. I think they're going to be a mess until they resolve the Howard situation.
All right. Who's next?
Next is Boston Celtics, 3-seed last year at 56-26.
Let's do the over-under first before we even talk about them.
Okay.
41.5. Are they going to be better or worse than the Magic?
I take the over on this.
Holy shit. No, you don't.
I take the over on this out of the fact that this lurching Eastern Conference preview has badmouthed one team after another, and for every team that loses a game, another team has to win a game, and so
okay.
The Celtics are going to feast on...
The Celtics win by attrition in your world.
We can say all the bad things you want to say about the Boston Celtics. There are going to be some weeks where the Celtics play New Jersey, Detroit, Washington, Cleveland, and Toronto. And who are they going to
lose to? Do you think the 66-game schedule with more back-to-back-to-backs ever hurts any team more than the Celtics?
No, probably not. Their whole team, though...
Do you think Jeff Green not playing the entire year, he's out?
That is a big blow.
Perkins, did you see Perkins? Perkins lost, like, 1 million pounds. He looks like you.
Kendrick Perkins looks like me. That is probably the hardest to prove assertion of this podcast.
But Jeff Green out, Garnett is old, Pierce is old. I mean, how much did they piss off Rondo? I'm going to go with a lot.
Rondo shopped for Chris Paul in the offseason.
Shopped hard.
They are starting Jermaine O'Neal at center, which is funny because he shouldn't even play basketball.
He would be something they would amnesty if they had another human being that was tall to put there.
Shaquille O'Neal retired, but they are considering signing former Yankee Paul O'Neal and former Speaker of the House Tip O'Neal.
Both available with
Jermaine O'Neal. All right, so Chris brings up the really good point that this team is incredibly old for a basketball team.
And maybe souring on Doc Rivers a little bit. And that Danny Ainge has not had a good year and seems to think he is rebuilding this team while having them compete, which very rarely works. It makes you Dumars-esque.
Consider that Ray Allen started a movie when Spike Lee was still in his directorial prime. Paul Pierce is still prominently involved, as is Kevin Garnett. Danny Ainge, volatile general manager. I mean, look, this is a team that I can't say anything nice about other than the fact that they've had a great deal of success the last 4 years, and other teams have to improve in order to beat them, I feel like, and no teams that we've really discussed, with the exception of, what, the Indiana Pacers, maybe the Philadelphia 76ers... Maybe the New York Knicks have really improved enough, and none of those three teams I think are better than the Celtics. I still don't like the Hawks. I think the Magic situation is too up in the air to put them ahead of Boston. So I think Boston is the third best team in the East still, despite...
I'll take them over the Magic, and I'll take the under on 41.5 wins.
But we both agree that they're still the third best team in the East.
No, I think they're fourth.
You think Atlanta's better than them?
Yeah.
Okay.
With Howard for the whole year? Right. Definitely. Right. I think they destroy the Celtics.
So Atlanta's your third seed in the East.
No, not Atlanta. Orlando.
Orlando's the third seed.
I think the Hawks... Who knows? I mean, I don't think the Hawks will be good, but maybe they're fucking crazy and they play well again. I mean, who knows? I mean, there's going to be some team from the bottom that makes the jump. It could be the Pacers.
I think the Pacers could make a big jump. I think Philadelphia could, too.
Yeah, I mean, they could. I don't think they will, but they certainly could. I mean, something weird is going to happen here. Maybe, I mean, we don't even know who's on the Cavs. So maybe they're awesome.
No. Okay. Second best team in the NBA regular season last year in the Eastern Conference was the best team in the Eastern Conference playoffs, the Miami Heat, finishing 58-24.
I don't have much to say about the Heat. They made one move. They stood pat.
The Miami Heat this offseason signed Shane Battier.
They're the favorites to win your NBA title at 2-1.
That's amazing.
No shit.
That's amazing odds.
For
a team that did not win the title last year and signed Shane Battier. Re-signed Mario Chalmers for...
the great Mario Chalmers. Kansas star.
Mario Chalmers... People take their phone off the hooks to see Mario Chalmers games. What's the over-under in their wins?
49.5.
Good God. So, I mean,
I think this is the year they roll through the regular season.
Vegas is viewing the Heat as a juggernaut.
I mean, also, I mean, they're getting a huge bump. I mean, because public money is going to go on the Heat, as they did last year. I mean, if you bet against the Heat every game last year, you did pretty good.
Okay.
They struggled very, very much at the beginning of the season, and the Heat Index was not a hit, but I don't know. I think they just roll through this year.
I mean, there are a lot of interesting questions we can ask about the mental state of Joel Anthony, but the question I have for you is...
full year of Haslam, right?
By full year of Haslam, that's a big plus, maybe. By the end of the year...
Mike Miller can't be that bad again. I mean, he was awful. He was awful. He can't be that bad again.
By the end of the year last year, did LeBron James and Dwayne Wade like learn to play with each other, like learn to complement each other's strengths?
No.
and they're still better than all the other teams.
They still can't play with each other. Do you see this as like a Kobe Shaq thing where the two big stars never really coexist, but they win the titles anyway?
I didn't say they'd win a title. I'd said they roll through the regular season.
They roll through the regular season. See, I think they coast through the regular season because it's like they don't want to like. Because they have, like, nothing to prove in the regular season. If they win, like...
I disagree. Like they have as much to prove in the regular season as any team in the East I can think of.
It's like maybe the most. It's like those old Kemp and Payton Sonics teams where it's like, if they, like, win a ton of games in the regular season, like, nobody cares because it's all,
people
like...
People totally care. I mean, the Heat are the most targeted team. I think they didn't... LeBron in particular didn't anticipate the extreme backlash to that team. And I think they didn't expect to have a target on them every single night. As much as they did, especially Chris Bosh, I mean, you know, crying and shit. They didn't. I think they know what to expect this year, and I think they're going to come out trying to beat the shit out of everybody during the regular season, and they will do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Their 58-24 record was in large part due to starting off the season 9-8 or something like that.
Right, and I mean, also, with Wade and James not being able to coexist together, I think they each take 10 games off this year. I mean, like, off. Like, they'll just be like, I'm not playing tonight, and they will still be able to throttle the Sixers.
So you take the over at 49.
Definitely. I would say they lose 10 games this year.
56-10. All right, I'll go with 52-14.
The talk is that they will challenge the Bulls, not all-time win record, but win percentage record for a good chunk of the year.
Number one, Chicago, 62-20 last year.
Is Rip it? Is Rip Hamilton the piece that will bring the Bulls over the top?
Richard Rip Hamilton, a champion with Connecticut and the Detroit Pistons.
He's got a ring.
About fourth on the Pistons shooting guard depth chart last year.
He's got a Silence of the Lambs mask. They're going to let him wear the headband. Brian Scalabrine brought back from Europe.
Reggie Miller's style without his range. Well, I don't know. I don't know about this. I mean, obviously he's an improvement over like Keith Bogans, but like...
Bogans cut. Sad. He was sad. He played 82 games last year, Keith Bogans. That makes me sad.
Has there ever been a shooting guard so bad that the President of the United States mentioned how bad he was in a speech before Keith Bogans? I looked this up. And one time...
Well, about Rondo. He talked some shit about Rondo that threw Rondo off.
Right. In 1984, Ronald Reagan mentioned that Gerald Henderson was not doing well for the Celtics. So, the Bulls, what do you think about the Bulls?
I like the Bulls. I think they're really good at basketball. I think that Derrick Rose sees that ring on Hamilton's finger, and I think that matters to him. And I think Rip
is... Do you think he's going to wear the ring during the game?
Like it if he did, and he had a giant glass case over his ring finger while he did it, to go with his face.
What about Carlos Boozer this year?
I mean, I don't know. He was hurt during the playoffs. I mean, his playoff numbers before last year have been consistently good, averaging over 20 points and near 10 rebounds a game when he was with the Jazz.
Yeah.
So, he looked like shit for the Bulls against the Heat and against the Hawks and against the Pacers. And during the regular season, he was hurt, but he didn't look that good. And I don't know... He can't be worse than that. I think that's the floor for Boozer. So I think there will be a mild improvement, and I think he will, in a shortened season, I think that helps him in the playoffs. And I think Joe's going to be fine as long as he stays healthy, which it's very hard to be a crazy, weird, long, 7-foot-something person and not have your feet fall off. So I think Joe's health is what matters. If the Bulls are healthy for the playoffs, I would take the Bulls to win the conference over the Heat.
All right. So,
and I predict they will be a 2 seed.
I think that, what's their over-under?
It is 46.5.
Oh, I'll take the over on that.
I'll take a slight over. I could see them winning 50 games. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
48 to 50, I'd say they're in that range.
All right, so regular season standings, I have Miami 1, Chicago 2, Boston 3, Indiana 4, Atlanta 5, Philadelphia 6, Orlando 7, New York 8.
Who's 7?
Orlando.
You have the Magic as the 7 seed?
Yeah.
Because they traded Howard?
Because they don't know what to do.
Dwight Howard will be a 7 seed. So the Bulls and the Magic will play in the first round.
Yeah. Yes? Yeah.
I hope that doesn't happen. That would be really unfortunate. I predict that will be the round 2 matchup.
I don't know.
So who comes out of the East?
Miami.
That's sad.
I'm sorry.
You don't gotta apologize to me.
I don't see how Richard Hamilton makes up for the Heat.
I think Derrick Rose playing better would be huge.
I don't know. Boozer, Rose need to step up.
I mean, Korver's gonna be better.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Luol Deng won't have to play 80 bazillion minutes this year.
That would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, I trust Thibodeau to make this work.
I still think Miami has the edge in that matchup. Before we go to the Western Conference, do we want to sing a song?
That's separate. We'll record that separately.
Okay.
Alright, so that's the East.
That was the East. So you have Chicago.
I have Chicago. You have the Heat.
Okay.